The light this morning has a different quality, a kind of golden softness that I have not noticed before, and I realize it is because the air is cooler. It is still warm, make no mistake. The forecast said 21 to 32 degrees, and it will be humid later, but there is a crispness at the edges now, a hint of the mountain autumn that is waiting just beyond the next few weeks. I woke early before the alarm, and I knew it was my last chance to see the morning market the way it starts, not the way it ends up crowded and bustling by 9. So I pulled on my sandals and walked down toward the Miyagawa River. The Miyagawa Market, which runs along the riverbank between the old town and the bridge, is one of those places that rewards being early. By 7, the stallholders are still setting up, arranging their persimmons and cucumbers, their jars of pickles, their bundles of fresh wasabi with the leaves still wet. I was there early enough to watch a woman unroll a cloth and lay out her wooden spoons and carved bears, each one slightly different from the last. And I thought about the woodcarver I visited twice this week, and how he had said that no two pieces are ever the same, because the wood itself decides. The market feels different at this hour, less like a performance for visitors and more like a daily ritual, the town waking up along the river. I bought a small bag of tomatoes from a farmer who told me they were grown in the high fields outside the city and they were still warm from the sun, or perhaps from the ride into town. A handful cost about 300 yen, which is nothing, a couple of dollars, and they were the sweetest I have had all summer. There is something about food that has not been refrigerated, that has gone from the vine to the stall in a few hours, that tastes different. And I stood there by the river eating one like an apple, the juice running down my wrist. And I thought about how often we pay more for less without even noticing. The river itself was low and clear, the stones on the bottom visible and smooth, and the light through the trees made that particular pattern the Japanese call kamaribi, the sunlight filtering through leaves, dappled and shifting. It is one of those words that describes not just a visual but a feeling, a moment of being outside in the summer and noticing the world is alive. I watched the water for a while, listening to the sound of it over the stones, and I thought about how easy it would be to stay here, to let this be my daily walk, my morning ritual. The rent here I have been checking is remarkably low if you know where to look. A modest one-bedroom flat, around 35 square meters, can be had for about 30,000 yen to 40,000 yen a month, which is around $230, a fraction of what I would pay in Tokyo. The trade-off is the winter, when the snow piles up and the streets get icy, and the fact that most shops are cash-only, and that the train line to Toyama has been disrupted by the weather and runs substitute buses now. It is a real place to live, not just a postcard, and I have been trying to hold both of those truths in my head at once. From the river, I walked up into the old town, the Sanmachi district, where the Edo-era merchant houses stand shoulder to shoulder, their dark timber lattices and sliding doors still closed against the morning. The streets were quiet, a few early walkers like me, and the only sound was the water running in the gutters and the clack of wooden sandals on stone. I passed the sake breweries, Funasaka and Harada and Nikki, their wooden facades unchanged for centuries, and I thought about stopping in for a tasting, but it felt too early, even for me. Instead, I found myself at the Hida Kokubunji Temple, which is the oldest temple in Takayama, dating back to the 8th century, and I sat for a while in the shade of the great ginkgo tree that is supposedly about 1200 years old. The tree was planted long before this town was even laid out, before the Lord Kanemori Nagachika shaped it as a mini Kyoto in the late 1500s, before the shogunate tore down the castle and left only the Jinja as its office. That tree has seen all of it, the festivals, the fires, the rebuilding, the tourists, and it just keeps standing, dropping its green leaves onto the gravel path. I sat there for a long time, thinking about time and what it means to put down roots. I had planned to spend my last day doing nothing in particular, which is its own kind of luxury, but I also wanted to eat something memorable before I left. I walked back toward the station and found a place I had been curious about, Center Four Hamburgers, which sounds like an odd choice in a town famous for beef and ramen, but I had heard good things. I ordered a Hitta beef burger, which used the local A5 Wagyu, and it cost about 1,500 yen, roughly $10, and it was excellent. Rich and smoky and messy in the best way. There's something genuinely fun about a good hamburger in a mountain town, a little bit of the outside world landing in the middle of all this tradition. After lunch, I wandered into the Hanmachi shopping district, which is the modern heart of the city, and I stopped at a cafe called Ember Espresso for a coffee. The cafe culture in Takayama has grown in the last few years, and places like this would not be out of place in Tokyo or Kyoto. But they are here, serving excellent coffee to a mix of locals and travelers. A flat white cost about 550 yen, which is around $3.50, and I sat by the window watching the street, the light rain beginning to fall again. And I thought about the rhythm I have fallen into here, the slow mornings and the early evenings, the walks by the river. The rain has been a constant companion this week, light and persistent, and it has a particular sound on the old wooden roofs and the broad leaves of the ginkgo trees. I do not mind it. It has kept the town green and the air fresh, and it has given me an excuse to explore the covered passages and the quiet corners where the crowds thin out. I walk down to Sakuramachi, the southern continuation of the old town, where the architecture opens up and there are fewer people, and I found a small bench overlooking the Miyagawa, and I sat there for an hour, just watching the water and the rain, and the occasional cyclist crossing the red Nakabashi Bridge. That bridge is the symbol of the town, painted a vivid vermilion, and in the evening it is illuminated along with the river from 7:30 to 9:30, and I have walked it almost every night I have been here. The summer illumination is on until the end of August, and I am glad I got to see it, the red bridge glowing against the dark water. I thought about how I will not be here for the Great Autumn Festival in October, when the huge decorated floats are pulled through these streets, when the whole town transforms. I have seen the floats up close at the Itai Kaiken, the festival float exhibition hall, and they are extraordinary, ancient wood and lacquer and gilded carvings, with mechanical puppets that are registered as a UNESCO intangible cultural heritage. But seeing them in the hall is not the same as seeing them in the street, surrounded by people in festival clothes, and I know I am leaving just before the best part. The evening found me back at the river, watching the illuminations come on, and I had my last meal at a little izakaya near the station, nothing fancy, just a counter and an old man grilling skewers over charcoal. I ordered Hitta beef skewers and a few vegetables, and the bill came to about 3,500 yen, maybe $23, which felt reasonable for the quality. The meat was tender and rich, and I ate it slowly, savoring it, and I said itadakimasu quietly before I started, as I always do, and the old man nodded at me and poured me another beer. It is funny how a place can start to feel like yours, how the shopkeepers begin to recognize you, how the barista knows your order, and how saying goodbye to a town you have only been in for a week can feel like a real pang. I walked back through the old town one last time, the streets empty and wet, the latticed windows glowing warm, and I thought about the future. The apartment search is still open, and I have been seriously considering whether Takayama could be a base, not just for a month, but for a season or two. The cost of living is a fraction of Tokyo, and the pace is so much gentler, and I have found a rhythm here that suits me. But the winter is long and the train line is fragile, and the town is caught between record tourism and a slow depopulation of the wider mountains, and I do not know yet whether I am ready to commit to that. I think I will go down to the Japan seacoast first as I planned, and let the autumn decide for me. I stood on the Nakabashi Bridge for the last time, the red arch glowing over the dark water, and I listened to the cicadas singing in the trees, the sound of Japanese summer in full voice. Even as the mornings turn cooler, the cicadas do not know that, they just sing, and there is something comforting in that. I have one more morning in this town, but I have already said my goodbyes to the river and the bridge and the old temple tree, and I know I will be back, Some places you visit and you leave, and some places you visit and they stay with you. And Takayama has done that to me. The August heat is finally breaking. The wind chimes are still ringing in the shrine. And somewhere out there, the autumn festival floats are waiting in the dark. Everything I have mentioned, the markets and the cafes and the practical details about getting around, is in the episode notes if you want to find it for yourself. Tomorrow I go south and west toward the sea, but tonight I am still here, and that is enough. The rain has stopped, the bridge is lit, and the town is quiet. I think I will take one more walk before bed. Thank you for listening. I will be back when I am settled somewhere new. Until then, take care of yourselves.